You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Carlos Tarin, Matthew McGee, and Catherine Alanis, and they're here to talk about the UTEP Forensics Program and their upcoming season, and we'll explain a little bit more about that. But first, we'd like to welcome all of you to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Now, let's start with you, Dr. Tarin. May I call you Carlos?
Yep, absolutely. Okay.
Carlos, tell me a little bit about the program. Well, actually, first of all, tell us about yourself, because you're a UTEP alum, correct?
Yes, I graduated in 2009. I was a member of the speech and debate team here from 2005 to 2009. And, you know, we did pretty well back then. Since finishing my degree in communication here, I went and did my master's at the University of Colorado and my doctorate at the University of Utah. And now I'm rejoining the faculty here at UTEP as a visiting assistant professor and the assistant director of forensics.
So you're going to have to take all your old sweatshirts and remove the H and put a P there?
Yep, got to make them all brand new.
Okay. Well, tell us, a lot of people sometimes get confused, and we were talking about this before the program started, that between forensics, the science, well, this could be a science too, and speech and debate and the actual, you know, doing autopsies, yep. All that stuff.
Yeah, they're very different. We don't deal anything with science and dead bodies and CSI type stuff. But forensics itself has its origin in ancient Greece. It refers to, you know, dealing with bodies and legislative or judicial affairs, essentially. But in the modern usage, how we use it is it's essentially the speech and debate team. And that's broken up into three different areas. So we have debate events where people argue over contemporary hot topic issues. We have interpretation of literature events, which are kind of like acting, but you're doing prose, poetry, drama. And then we have platform and limited preparation events. So the typical informative speeches, persuasive speeches, and the like.
At the beginning of the program, we said that, you know, you're preparing for your upcoming season. So, and we mentioned team. People out there may be wondering, well, what are they talking about when they say season and team? And you guys are like an athletic team. You go out and compete against
Absolutely.
Other schools,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, we go to national tournaments. Most of them are regional, so we'll be in California, Arizona, Colorado, here in Texas. But we do travel all over the country, and it's just like an athletic team where we compete, you know, once or twice a month. We have a national tournament that we go to at the end of the year, and there are competitive rankings just like there are in sports. So it's very much similar, but all of the students are competing individually. So rather than a football team that has 20-some-odd people playing for the same game, we have individual students who contribute to the overall team success.
And so with us are two team members, Catherine Alanis and Matthew McGee. You want to tell us about them?
Yeah, so these are two of our returning members, and they're both captains on the team. Matthew is the captain of the debate side of the team, and Kat is our captain of interpretation. And they're both very, very talented, and I'm looking forward to working with them and seeing all the awesome things they do this year.
Well, Matthew, tell us about your role and what you said as far as being captain of that division. Tell us what you do, what you oversee, and some of the events that you do.
Well, some of the events that I do personally are more on the platform and limited prep side. So dealing with things such as informative speaking, giving this 10-minute sort of introduction and infomercial about a medical technology or something that's new and upcoming, as well as limited prep, so impromptu speeches and extemporaneous speeches on current events. As for my position as the debate captain, I sort of oversee the argumentative side of the forensics world. I help teach the basic foundations of debate and prepare people for what they're all expecting in a debate round, what kind of arguments and how you should respond and how you should interpret the wording of a debate topic.
When we hear the president speak, perhaps giving the State of the Union or a news conference, he'll speak and then they'll have a member of the opposing party talk about what the president did or did not say. And then you have usually a news person explaining to you sort of what you may have missed. So when you do present a topic, let's say you're talking about cancer or breast cancer and some of the steps that have been taken to eliminate that, how would you present that in a way that doesn't sound too technical, too medical, but that people can understand? You know, the person at home who may have had a cancer victim in the house.
One of the biggest things to keep in mind is sort of something that I like to call the why factor. Like, why is this important to me as the average, ordinary individual? And the way that we would give a presentation on something like breast cancer awareness is that we would talk about the background of what it is and the strides that have been made. And then we would talk about how new advances can be applied to the ordinary individual. and then discuss implications of how this affects future research and how does it affect survivors as well as those suffering through this disease.
And are you allowed to have presentation tools like PowerPoint or Prezi, or is it just you up there and the audience?
Well, we're allowed to have visual aids, not so advanced as PowerPoint or Prezi, more of the old-fashioned foam board and picture that you're allowed to use as a visual aid.
And joining us is Catherine Alanis, a.k.a. Kat. Kat, tell us about your program.
The interpretive side of speech and debate is basically getting literature and making it convey a certain theme so you can put different pieces of literature together. So things like plays or movies or poems and books and stuff like that, we usually bring them together to convey things like stories about cancer or, you know, education, stuff like that. And what I do on the team is I usually help the other students, like, with their research on the literature, putting the literature together, which we call cutting, and then putting it in a book. So interp events usually have to have, like, a little binder that everyone has to carry around where our scripts are and how to block, which is, like, our movements, the way that we react to our words with our bodies and stuff like that. And that's basically what we do on the interp side of it.
Now, as far as presenting it, Mike, one of your professors, knows that I'm a big fan of audiobooks. A lot of people are now. And the audiobook industry has taken a big step forward, but at the same time, step backward, because they're doing what radio dramas used to do before. And instead of reading the story to you, they dramatize it. So when you interpret something like that, let's say, for example, the first chapter or the first couple of paragraphs of a popular novel, how would you get that? How would you read that to entice the listener to perhaps read that book or make it come to life in a different way?
So for us, it's all about the dramatization of it. So if it's a sad part of the book, we try to look and act as sad as we can. If it's angry, we try to, you know, sound angry through our tone and stuff like that. We don't really read out plainly the text. It's more of the way that we interpret it and the way that we dramatize it individually, so how we take it, all of the material.
Carlos, one of the things that I've heard in the past is that when students or presenters are, you know, getting ready for a presentation, if they memorize, it sounds memorized instead of conversational, instead of being natural. So how do you prepare your students to, you know, get out of that frozen, stiff, and become themselves and be a little bit more conversational?
Yeah, that's a huge problem and a really huge challenge for a lot of public speakers. Most of the events that we do on this team are, in fact, memorized. And so one of the big things that we have to do is overcoming that rigid, memorized, boring, bland sort of tone. And so we do a lot of exercises. We do a lot of drills where we will go line by line to really work on inflection, to work on changing volume, changing pace, to try and make it enticing, to make it exciting, and to really grab the listeners so that they want to pay attention and they want to hear what the speech is really about.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the program about the upcoming season. Tell us about how you prepare for that and what are some of the events that, you know, you guys are getting ready for.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and that's why we're starting so early. Our first competition won't be until September, but we're already starting to get our speeches together. So at this point right now, we're looking for topics. We're doing research. We're starting to write these speeches. And really, it's just a matter of practicing one-on-one and as a team to really fine-tune the performances that we're putting together. Hopefully, in the next month or two, we'll have some events up and ready. And by September, we'll have a full squad of events that we're ready to take out to competition and hopefully win some shiny trophies.
How do the members, students become members of the team? Do you have tryouts? How does that work?
It's pretty much an open enrollment team. So we have two classes that students can enroll in, Communication 2202 and Communication 2201, which correspond to the debate and individual events sides of the teams. And there's no prerequisites. Students of any major can join the team. And you can have experience, you can be brand new, you can want to go to competition, or you can just want some experience with public speaking. And really, it's just sign up for the class and we will help you accomplish whatever goals you have set for yourself.
Being in academia, you and Mike and some of the other profs know or heard the story that people are deathly, pardon the pun, afraid of speaking. They'd rather be the guy in the box than, you know, talking. So for somebody who's signing up for this class or want to become a better speaker, but they're afraid because that speech class they took in high school or early in college kind of scared them off, how is this different, or is it?
It's very different. I would say that this isn't really something that you might have taken in high school. It's not really the equivalent. because there's a lot more freedom, there's a lot more leeway with what you can talk about. So our goal is to find messages that students care about and fine-tune those messages to make them as powerful and persuasive as possible. So there's a lot of freedom in what students can talk about. But I would also say that it's really sort of a trial by fire. And the only way that you can get better at public speaking is to actually do public speaking. And this is a really great opportunity and activity to do something where you can get out in front of 50 random people in the audience who you've never seen before. And for 10 minutes, you have a captive audience that has to listen to what you say. And I think the more people do that, the more comfortable they get, their confidence grows. And it's just sort of a snowball effect that the more you do it and the more experience you get, the better and more comfortable with public speaking you feel.
Matthew, to be comfortable, some students, and I know I tell them that this in my announcing class, the fact that to do something that they enjoy, talk about something they enjoy. And so that takes a little bit of the fear away, I would imagine. How do you go about selecting what dialogue, what speech, what presentation your team is going to be doing, and so they can feel comfortable? And as we've said before, not to sound like a, you know, some stone-faced guy.
Well, one of the biggest things is to find something that you're passionate about. One of the things I always say is find something that you're passionate about, find something that you care about, and the speech practically writes itself. If you have the opportunity to discuss something that you've never really managed to talk about, whether it just be with a professor or your friends, speech and debate is the opportunity to take that message and amplify it, not just to your fellow teammates, but to, again, as Carlos had said, a room full of 50 people who you've never seen before, and they're captivated by what you have to say.
Now, when you go on a tournament, do you have you do have scheduled events, but do you have to have something completely different from the other people, or does everybody work, say, do they send maybe like a package and say, you guys select topics from this, and this is what everybody's going to work on?
Not necessarily. The only time where people work on similar issues would be on limited prep events, so extemporaneous speaking and impromptu, because those topics are very similar. With impromptu, you would have a set of quotations, and you have to interpret them and provide a speech. Extemporaneous speaking is about current events, and you answer a question in a yes or no format. All sorts of messages on the platform side, as well as the interpretive side, are very different, so it's very uncommon to see individuals provide a speech on similar events and things.
How do you cat as far as taking away perhaps the stereotypical or the brand, the moniker? You know, if somebody says, this is healthy food, here's a donut. Oh, I'll take the donut, you know, because that word healthy scares them away. And speech, if somebody says, let's go listen to a speech, go, oh, come on. Because, you know, Senator Bob Dole once said, public speaker is like a corpse at a funeral home. Everybody expects you to be there, but not to say much. So how would you entice them to come and be different? Because as you mentioned about your book earlier, if you want to make it sound sad or if it's something happy, you don't want to read it monotone, and you don't want to – everybody has a different perspective on the book. And when you present it, people might say, you know what? I read that book and I didn't get that out of it, but that's interesting. I'm going to have to read it again or check it out.
Yeah, usually when people think of speech, people think of, you know, rigid speeches that are boring and are, you know, about one certain thing. But the important thing for us is that we get what we do out there and let people know what we do. Because once you realize the kind of work that we do, I feel like it's easier to want to get involved and be interested in the type of things that we do, because we don't really do rigid speeches. Everything that we talk about is something that means something to each of us. So we try to put as much emphasis on the stuff that we care about, on the stuff that we believe in, and, you know, the messages that we're trying to portray. And I think that is what makes us, you know, different from the, like, health speech perspective. So I think it's getting the word out there that we're not boring and that we're not like the normal speeches and what everyone thinks we are.
So as we wrap up this program, Carlos, as you mentioned, Kat, you want people to find out what you do. So do you have a website where they can go to or perhaps observe videos or something like that?
Yeah, we do have a team website. It's, if you just Google UTEP Forensics, that'll be the first thing that pops up. It's also linked on the Department of Communication website. We have information about how to join, about what the activity is. I believe there's even some links of some videos on there from public demonstrations that we've done in the past. So lots of information. And also, you know, if anybody out there that's listening is interested, they can always email me and I'd be happy to talk to them.
And what's that email?
It would be carlos.dean@utah.edu.
Thank you very much for being with us. We've been visiting with Dr. Carlos Tarin, Matthew McGee, and Catherine Alanis with the UTEP Forensics Team. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, DJ Orozco. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.